Hello and welcome to a Classic TV Press podcast with me, Andy Priestner. And I'm delighted to be joined today by Sophie Neville, who played Titty in Swallows and Amazons. Hello, Sophie.
Hello, it's good to be here.
The reason why we're talking today is because we're about to publish your book, The Making of Swallows and Amazons, which is already available as an e-book. And it's to coincide with the 40th anniversary of the film.
Yeah, in 1974, Swallows and Amazons was released during the Easter holidays for general release internationally on the cinema. It was actually made the summer before in 1973, but because it was released in 1974,
yeah.
This year is its 40th anniversary. And to celebrate that fact, the distributors, Studio Canal, are bringing out a restored DVD and Blu-ray of the movie. And they're also going to be doing screenings in the United Kingdom. And I'm really looking forward to them. There's going to be a screening at the Hastings Pirate Day on the 20th of July.
Yeah.
There's screenings at BFI in London, I hope, and also in Cumbria particularly. But if you'd like a screening near you, send an email to Studio Canal or contact me, Sophie Neville, on my blog.
Which the blog address is?
It's sophieneville.net. But if you just put Sophie Neville into Google, it hopefully should pop up.
Okay, good.
And there's a comments box. And you can also find out what other Swallows and Amazons events are on. There's a very active Arthur Ransom Society, which I've been elected president. There's all sorts of things going on, not least that you can go up to the Lake District and discover the film locations for yourself.
So in the book, is there detail of where those locations are?
Well, yeah, you should be able to use the book as a guidebook to help you find the locations, but a few of them might be tricky. But the great thing is that Bankground Farm, which Arthur Ransom portrays as Holly Howe in his book, in his original book written in 1929, is a guest house, and you can stay there, B&B or self-catering. I think you can camp there.
Right.
They've got a jetty down by the lake, and my friends recently took a boat all the way to Peel Island. It's far.
So Peel Island is, in the film, that is Wildcat Island, is
that
right?
That's right. And that's we went there when I was 12, playing Titty, when the film was made. And the whole... most of the scenes on Wildcat Island are actually set there. So you can visit the island and run around and find all the places where we pretended to be Robinson Crusoe and where I stole the Amazon. And you won't find all the locations there.
Okay.
There's a few secrets, yeah.
So why have you decided to write the book now? It's not just about the 40th anniversary. Is it always been in you to write this book about making this film?
Not at all.
No?
In 1973, as part of our schoolwork, while we made the film, because it was made during the summer term, we were asked or persuaded to keep diaries. And we kept diaries of what we did on every day.
Okay.
But these were right at the back of the wardrobe, and I nearly threw them all out, along with the programme from the premiere and all the press clippings that my mother collected. I was decluttering, and I nearly threw the whole lot out. But I kept them. In fact, I think my mother must have kept them, because what happened was that the dinghy that is featured as Swallow in the film of Swallows and Amazons came up for auction.
Okay.
And my father alerted me to this, and I thought, oh, I must put in a bid. I mean, I can't not put in a bid for this old dinghy. But before I did so, I was contacted by Magnus Smith of the Arthur Ransom Society, who said, would I join the fans of the film and Arthur Ransom enthusiasts in bidding for Swallow. And in fact, she went for a colossal price, and we had to raise £5,500 to buy her and take her up to the Lake District for restoration. The restoration was sponsored by Patterson's Boatyard and International Varnish. And she looked so beautiful once she was finished with new sails and everything that we took her to the boat show. And it was because we took her to the boat show that I unearthed some of the memorabilia that went with the film, including all the behind-the-scenes photographs that my parents took when they were up on location with me, because my mother worked on the crew as our official chaperone and actually as a wardrobe assistant. And so she had quite a stash of photographs that now, looking back on the early 70s, are both... they're a little bit of history. They're incredibly nostalgic. Nostalgia is a very powerful emotion because they show what we wore in the 70s and what we ate, and everything came rushing back to hit me. But it still wasn't the reason why I wrote the book. The reason why I wrote the book was that there was such a demand from fans of the film to know more about how it was made, and they pressurized me and pestered me and asked me if I'd put my diaries up on my blog site, my Sophie Neville blog site on the internet. So I've got a website, which was really to sort of be my website as an author, but it is a blog. And I've been, every now and again, someone sends me a lot of really interesting information with fabulous photographs. And I, I mean, let's write about charcoal burning in the Lake District. So I do that. And I've really appreciated people's comments. And it was the fans of the film who persuaded me to write a whole series of posts featuring my diary. And they said I mustn't change a word. And they wanted to see all the material I had. And not a stone should be left unturned. So...
have you followed that advice?
A massive, huge amount of material. I had no idea how much was there. But I kept a scrapbook, because in the 70s that was something you
did.
That
was the thing, wasn't it?
And my mother, she subscribed to Durrants of Herbal Hill. And they were a news clipping agency who sent her every article written about the film and about myself, you know, acting in it. And she also kept all the fan letters that I've been sent over the years. And it's been pretty consistent. Even the fan letters that I arrived when I was at university, can you imagine? They were they were addressed to Titty.
Dear Titty.
Durham University. And miraculously, they made it. I had other fans that found me in deep in the African bush. When I, you know, like, 30 years after I made the film.
So the film and Titty, they've kind of followed you around. How do you feel about that? Is that something that you like, or?
Well, it's a bit odd sometimes, because people will just come up to me and say, "Oh, Titty, how are you?" They'll recognise me because I still look pretty much the same. I mean, given that I'm 40 years older. And I probably sound a little bit different. But when I go to Cumbria, for instance, they go, "Oh, hey, lass, oh, you've grown. Oh, you've grown. You sound just the same, though." So it does depend where I am and what I'm doing. If I'm, like, in the sailing community, they will all have seen the film The Swallows and Amazons, and to them I'm still Titty, given that they need to sort of adjust a bit to the passing of the years. But... if I'm in inner city London, maybe not so much. But I'm amazed how children today really enjoy the old film. They just snuggle down and watch it. And it's just become a generational film that families want to show their kids and their grandchildren.
They still want to watch it today.
They do.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Sophie. It's been great to talk to you. And buy the book, The Making of Swallows and Amazons, out later this summer, 2014. Thank you, Sophie.